right, good morning. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we're going to pick up in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10, and we will stand together in a moment and read that. I enjoyed watching the Olympics when they were on. I was sort of glad when they were over, because I'm not used to staying up to 11 or 12 every night watching the Olympics, but I couldn't find myself walking away from them and watching the Olympics, and I'm sure many of you did. Specifically, I enjoyed watching the track and field events. I don't think they show enough of them. I think they should show more. I didn't get to see one javelin thrown the whole Olympic time. I must have been on the wrong channel, or they didn't cover it well. But on track and field, the young man by the name of Wilhelm Belotion, he was from France. He was running in the 110-meter hurdles, and if you watched it on that night, this was in one of the semifinal heats, he false started, and he was immediately disqualified from the race. Likewise, the next night, a young man by the name of Javier Colson from Puerto Rico was disqualified from the 400-meter hurdles final, and he was favored to win a medal in that event. A split-second jump before the starting gun for both of these young men and a lifetime of training and preparation were gone. You're disqualified. You're done. If you watched that along with me, you saw the heartbreak on their faces when they failed. They could just see, and they knew. They knew they had. They didn't argue. They were just brokenhearted over what had occurred. In the days after, some and many said that the one false start rule in track and field may be the cruelest rule in all of sports. There is no mercy. You jump and you're disqualified. Can you imagine for just a second being Javier or Wilhelm? Can you imagine a once in a lifetime event? You've waited your whole life for this event, and you lose your chance because of one simple mistake. Stand with me together as we read from Mark chapter 10. We're going to begin reading in verse 46. I'm going to read verses 46 to 52, which is the end of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46, says, "Now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of Nazareth, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Thank you. Be seated. Keep your Bible open. We're going to walk back through this, and I want you to be able to make appropriate notes or remember appropriate words. I know there are times in my Bible, there are many scriptures I have underlined, and I've underlined certain words. And when I sit with people and we read through scripture, they can see that these words are important. And I think when you show people your Bible, they need to see that you've been there before, whether your pages are worn or and challenged. I've had a number of people come to me about my Bible. And they're saying, "Jeff, that Bible's looking rough, looking like it might fall out." I've even had a new one purchased and given to me. And even last weekend, I had somebody say, "If you'll loan me that Bible, this Bible," they said, "I'll put a cover on it for you." This Bible's been through it. I hope your Bible's been through it. I hope that you're using it. It's almost as if I've had this Bible so long now that when I want something, I know exactly where it is, and it's almost like it opens for me. I pray that your Bible gets lots and lots of good use. Now, when we pick up in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46, Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly ministry. If we have read, Jesus has now steadfastly turned his face toward Jerusalem. He is on his way, entering into the final week of his life. He's making his way to Jerusalem. Jesus knows that when he gets to Jerusalem, that he is going to be crucified. And Jesus keeps walking, keeps moving to complete the reason that he came. Jesus, when we pick up in Mark chapter 10, will soon die on the cross for you and for me and for all, Scripture says, who will believe. Jesus and his disciples and the crowd that are following him are passing through Jericho. History says, and the directions now says, that that's about 15 to 18 miles from Jerusalem, and that those people following Jesus are going to follow him to Jerusalem, and the last few miles from Jericho to Jerusalem are uphill. Church, let me tell you that sometimes following Jesus is a challenge. Sometimes you have to try hard, you have to push hard, you have to invest hard. Following Jesus is not easy. And you go, Jeff, we know that. But let me tell you, following Jesus is worth it. There is no greater thing that you can invest your life in than following Jesus. Verse 46 tells us that there was a blind man by the road begging. You see, when you were a blind man in first century times in this area of the world, you spent your time begging by the gate. You were considered a second-class citizen. Everybody knew who you were because they walked by you every day, walked around you every day. Scripture tells us that this man's name was Bartimaeus. They knew him so well that they even knew his daddy, Timaeus. You were left to beg for a living if you were blind in these days. Verse 47 says, when he heard it was Jesus. You know, I don't know if you, like me, you've read that sometimes the when you lose one sense, his eyesight, other senses were heightened a little bit. Or Jesus was always followed by such a multitude of people that you could hear Jesus coming into town, going by you, and going past you, even if you were a blind man. He could hear the activity. And obviously he asked what it was because someone, Scripture says, they told him that it was Jesus passing through town. Verse 47 tells us that when blind Bartimaeus understands that it is Jesus passing through town, when he understands that that crowd is coming through, that that noise is Jesus, that it is Jesus, that he screamed, he hollered, and he yelled, Son of David, have mercy on me. See, sometimes if you just whisper in a crowd, you won't be heard. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David was a prophetic title given to the Messiah. This blind man knew the Messiah came to judge and to save. And this blind man, in his situation, understood that what he needed most from Jesus was mercy. You know, mercy is not getting what you deserve. Not getting what you deserve. This man understood enough to know that he likely deserved punishment, judgment, and to be forsaken in life. Perhaps he believed that because of the sin in his life, or maybe the sin in his family's life, he could not have a relationship with Jesus. Son of David, have mercy on me, he cried out. Verse 48 tells us that as he cried out, they told him to be quiet. Shh, be quiet. You can read it right there in verse 48. Many told him to be quiet. They said, stop yelling. Stop hollering. Stop screaming. You know what they probably were saying? Jesus is busy. Jesus is too busy for you. Leave Jesus alone. He will not hear you. There is no hope. Church, when we discourage people from seeking Jesus, we do them great harm. We should enable people to seek Jesus, to see Jesus. We should do everything we can to bring them into his presence. Verse 48 says that when they told him to be quiet, this blind man says that he hollered more loudly, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he cries out and he cries out and he probably does not stop. You see, desperate people do not allow other people to keep them from Jesus. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you desperate? Are you desperate for Jesus? Do you want to see Jesus? You may not be blind, but you may have other challenges in your life. Are you desperate for Jesus? Desperate people do not allow other people to keep them from Jesus. In Mark 5, verses 25 to 34, if you go back and read that, it talks about a woman with an issue of blood. And she had wasted her whole life and all of her savings and been to see everybody, Scripture says. And she was still no better. And she heard that Jesus came into town. And this woman with an issue of blood, which meant that she was weakened and frail, Scripture would describe us that she went to Jesus and she understood, if I could just touch his garment. And I think sometimes we think that that woman just walked on in there, elbowed her way through, grabbed a hold of Jesus' garment and walked away. No, I bet you she had to fight upstream with all the strength she had to get to Jesus. And I bet all she could grab was just a touch of Jesus. But she knew, she said, if I could just touch him, touch the garment of his clothing, I will be made well. In that scripture, when she touches Jesus, Scripture tells us that Jesus felt the power of God go out of him, and he stopped. And he said, "Who touched me?" In a congregation, in a group of people that he was likely being touched over and over and over again, this touch was special. You see, church, we need to understand that it was a touch of faith. He asked, and the woman said, "It was me." She was scared, but she said, "It was me." And he said, "It's your faith that made you well." Do we understand? We need to stop for just a second and understand that Jesus was touched by many at that time. The disciple says, "Jesus, how could you just want to talk to one person who touched you? You've been touched many, many times." But in that, all Scripture records is one life being changed. One life that touched Jesus because of faith. One. Desperate people do not let other people keep them from Jesus. This blind man was bold, he was determined, he was desperate, he was tired of things being like they were, like they always have been. Likely when you spend day after day after day at the city gate in Jericho, you hear all kinds of the day's news. And so likely this man had heard what Jesus had done for other people, what he had taught other people, what he had said. This man believed that Jesus could help him. And this man was willing to do whatever it took to get the attention of Jesus. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get Jesus to touch your life? I don't know where you sit every day. We know that Bartimaeus sat by the gate and he waited day in and day out, sat by the gate, and he struggled with his challenges. Where do you sit? What challenges are you facing? What issues are you struggling with? Where do you sit? Verse 49, two great words we can point out right there. It said that Jesus stopped. Jesus, Scripture said, was heading steadfastly toward Jerusalem and the cross. But when he heard this cry of faith, this cry from a desperate man, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, in the crowd, he stopped. What love Jesus had for that man to stop. What mercy and grace. Not only does Jesus stop, he calls for the man to come to him. He says, bring him to me. Bring him here. Have him come to me. They told the blind man in verse 49, hey, Jesus is calling you. You got to get to Jesus. Jesus is calling you. Verse 50 says that he throws aside his garment and went to Jesus. He left everything he had, which wasn't a lot, but he left everything he had to go to Jesus. History would say that this garment was likely called a himation, a one-piece garment that was used as an overcoat, that was used as a blanket, that was used as a pad. It was a multi-use garment that was very, very nice and very important if you were going to be spending your life begging at the gate of Jericho. Scripture said that he threw it aside. I believe he threw it aside so that nothing could get in his way, trip him up on his way to Jesus. You know, it didn't seem like much to throw aside. But you know what Jesus wants you to throw aside to come to him? Everything. Jesus only wants one thing from you. Only wants one thing. All. He wants all of you. And so many times, I believe, we're sitting by the gates with our struggles. We're struggling in our relationships, or we're struggling with our challenges and our issues because we're not ready to pay the price. We're not desperate enough. We're not willing to cast aside all to come to Jesus. 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, we spoke about the rich young ruler. And you know, he got to see Jesus just before this. And he left sad because he was not willing to set aside his riches to follow Jesus. So Jesus stops. Jesus calls for Bartimaeus. The crowd tells Bartimaeus to go see Jesus. Bartimaeus shows up in front of Jesus, and Jesus asks this question from him. What do you want me to do for you? Now, some of us could look at that and go, duh. But Jesus never did anything without a purpose. And he asked this question with a purpose. He says, what do you want me to do for you? You see, when you come before Jesus, we must admit our need. If you stand here today and you have a challenge, you need to take it to God and give it to him. If you've never given your life to Christ, you have to come to Jesus and say, I need a Savior. Jesus is going to ask you, what can I do for you today? Jesus wanted this man to admit his need. What do you need right now? Jesus is here. Scripture says that when we pray and when we worship, that Jesus is interceding on our behalf at the right hand of the Father, and that the Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf as well. When we prayed earlier during our family prayer, we talked about not missing this moment. Do you know that God knew this very moment was going to occur in your life? He knew that Jesus was going to pass by Jericho at that time, and Bartimaeus was going to scream out, Son of David, have mercy on me, and his life was forever going to be changed. What do you need from Jesus right now? Right now. Verse 51 says that the blind man calls Jesus Rabbi. Rabboni. It's only used two times in Scripture. Once here, and the second is by Mary Magdalene after Jesus has arisen in John chapter 20, verse 16. It is meant as Lord or my master. You see, what's happening is, first of all, it was Son of David, a messianic title, and now it's turned into a title of personal faith and trust. And Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Blind Bartimaeus looks at Jesus, and Jesus is directioning him. And he says, I want to have my sight back. It's not a very unique answer. It's sort of an answer we expected. But isn't that what God wants from us? He wants to know what's on our heart. I was talking to a church member earlier this week. We were discussing how we should come before God and pray. And we want God's will, but we know what we want and think and do and all of these activities. And how are we supposed to pray? And I think if it's on your heart, you need to give it to God. If it's anger, if it's frustration, if it's doubt, if it's joy, if it's love, whatever it is, give it to God. Be honest with Him. Jesus, I just want to see again. I want to see. Matthew chapter 9 tells this same story from Matthew's perspective, and it adds two things. One is blind Bartimaeus, there was two people, verses 1. And Jesus adds this statement in Matthew 9:28. After he says, I want to see, he says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? And the blind man in Matthew chapter 9 says, yes, Lord. Do you believe that Jesus is able to meet the need in your life? Do you believe that Jesus is able to meet the need? Can Jesus help you forgive something that you've been struggling with for years? Can Jesus bring healing to your body? Can Jesus bring healing to your marriage? Can Jesus provide that job that you need? Can He help you start giving obediently? Can Jesus heal your current challenge? You see, when you come before God desperately, Jesus is going to look at you and go, what do you want me to do? And it's in that moment you decide whether you're going to be honest with God or not. And Jesus is going to say, do you believe I can do this? Do you believe? Verse 52, after the man had said, yes, I believe, Lord, you can do this, he said, your faith has made you well. Made well. The word healed, it's the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. When you look it up, it means to restore, to make well, to preserve one who is in danger, or to rescue. Sozo, Jesus restores this man, rescues this man from his situation. Scripture says that he immediately received his sight. And then it goes on to say that he immediately followed Jesus on the road. Psalm 37:4, as I close, says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Church, what do you want from Jesus today? If I was to summarize an invitation, it would be for me to recognize that I have a need. That I need mercy from God. That Jesus is waiting for me to call His name. That He will stop and receive me. And I can follow Him. That's our invitation today. Do you have a need? And do you believe that Jesus can meet it? I look in my own life. I face my own challenges. So to act like you don't have one is not honest. Right now, in the stillness of your heart, I pray that God is showing you what He desires to do in and through your life.